floating in zero G.
If you look at any of the biggest campaigners and the most successful activists and people who've changed the world, how have they done it? They've fought, they've campaigned, they've protested, they've sacrificed things about their lives, they've put their body at risk. Nothing got changed easily. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. Hard is good, struggle is good, tough is good.
I'm Sophie Morgan, TV presenter, adventurer, paraplegic, and advocate.
Thank you for today, it was amazing.
Going into zero gravity, I can move around. I am no more disabled than anybody. You put me in a different environment and I'm deeply disabled. And that's one of the problems with an aeroplane.
I have to travel the world for my job. But almost every flight is a battle.
British Airways have broken my BATEC. Absolutely raging.
And I'm not the only one who suffers when flying.
I am absolutely horrified and scared.
Disabled travellers regularly feel they're victims of discrimination.
People want to be asked before they get pushed. It's scary, someone just comes and pushes you.
It's a crisis moment. Disabled passengers are left stranded on planes.
I've just been abandoned. I have no idea what's going on. Help.
We landed at 6 o'clock. It is now 6:45. I am still on the plane.
Everyone's left. I've saw my chair roll under the plane, unattended.
We're treated like second-class citizens and denied boarding.
They have refused to let me on their flight because I'm attached to fluids, medical equipment.
My chair is apparently 4 inches too tall to be loaded onto the plane.
We're not getting on the flight today.
We're treated like luggage, like cattle, and this can't continue anymore.
And too often, we have our wheelchairs broken.
My chair was damaged beyond repair.
And this was the moment when I decided enough was enough.
Her damaged wheelchair. I'm starting to panic because this isn't coming out.
I'm literally shaking. I thought I wasn't going to be able to get back in my chair.
I mean, this is like my legs. And I'm sitting there watching it going, oh my God, they're going to break it, they're going to break it, and they break it.
It's just been a bodge job to get it out. Every reason why we have to see change in this. This is just, I can't speak, I'm really shaken.
I was so upset about it all. Your life stops when your wheelchair is broken.
To reveal just how awful the experience can be for us, I've asked a group of disabled passengers like me to document just how hard they have to fight to fly.
That's not supposed to move. It's broken.
I can't sit back.
Damage to the chair is the thing you fear the most. It's abuse.
I had no option but to drag myself along the floor and into the toilet.
I can barely look at it. Dragging himself on the floor.
Oh, poor man!
It's not just inhumane, it's dangerous.
Sophie Morgan's Fight to Fly. Hashtag Fight to Fly.
The 17th of August, 2003. Remember exactly what I was wearing? A black top, and I had all this lovely tan from holiday, and I remember just feeling really, like, grown up. And then went to the party. We were dancing all night long, and then at the end of the night, I was sober. So I was like, oh, let's just drive. And I was driving, flew down this country lane. It was like 4 a.m, and I lost control, oversteered. The car basically hit the verge, and it flipped and rolled and rolled and rolled and then landed in the field. My vertebrae just went from being like this to just going like that. That was enough to paralyze me instantly. Literally, no word of a lie, remember being very calm and warm and happy and just going towards this light and just feeling like, oh, it's time there, that's gonna be nice, go there. But then I heard this voice, and the voice was saying, don't go, don't go. And it was my mum, it was her voice. I came back for a reason. Maybe I came back because I needed to come back and I needed to do something.
Home video of a younger Sophie riding a pony, then her bruised face after the accident.
It was really tough. And when I started trying to live my life and go out and do stuff, that's when it became very clear that access was going to be the biggest bitch in my life. And I was going to have to fight forever for it. Yeah.
Examining her wheelchair.
When Maya put the video out of social media of me kind of almost crying about how my chair had been broken, a lot of people were like, who is this girl? Why is she crying? What's she on about? Lack of sympathy there. We totally and utterly normalise the discrimination of disabled people. We're asking too much. I think that's what people think. But when people like me come along and say, hold on a minute, how come just because I'm in a wheelchair I can't do the same things as I used to be able to do? And I ask those questions, it's problematic. After my post, I was bombarded with similar stories. So I decided it's time to campaign for change, to make it easier for disabled people to fly.
Today is the day that we launched the Rights on Flights campaign. I feel like it's been a long time coming, but actually, you know, it's only been a few weeks since the run-in with British Airways. But yeah, today is the day. So I'm going to be launching the campaign live on Loose Women this afternoon. It's like nervous energy, like really like I'm about to go into battle.
Sophie is in a TV studio with a panel of presenters.
Today, we are launching the Rights on Flights campaign.
Good name.
Which I have to say, I'm really excited about. Now, the long-term goal is to redesign an aircraft so that a wheelchair user can travel in their chair on board a plane, just like you do on a train, right? So the short-term goal, asking the government to give the Civil Aviation Authority the power to impose fines when an airline or any of the other parties involved fail disabled people. So it's just a way of saying disabled people won't tolerate this abuse anymore, that yeah. We have a voice, let's work together to make change.
Sophie leaves the set in her wheelchair, smiling and acknowledging the audience applause.
We surveyed over 500 people with reduced mobility who've flown in the last 5 years. Sadly, half felt they were discriminated against when they flew. And 55% say they've experienced an accessibility issue with at least one airline.
The campaign is now live, and I've already had so many messages. Good Morning Britain want me to come on. ITV News want me to come on. BBC Breakfast wants me on. This is just epic.
In a car, Sophie checks her phone.
So Twitter, a lot of responses. Our daughter's a permanent wheelchair user. We had an incident traveling last year. Part of her chair went missing. Like all wheelchair users, I've had a nightmare. Broken chairs to broken leg. Broken leg. Honestly, now I don't fly, see?
Do you ever shut the fuck up about your disability and then look, boring?
it's that quote, isn't it? Well-behaved women seldom make history. So, I'm not gonna be well-behaved. I'm gonna cause a fuss.
Sophie, come and tell me about Widdy. Did you enjoy that?
So when I was very little, I was like a little pleaser. Two loving parents and a little brother. I love being in outdoors. We lived in the countryside, so right in the sticks, and I would just be out playing all the time with my little brother, playing with the dogs.
It does make me happy when I look at pictures of myself when I was little, and I did so much sport and used my little legs as much as I could. Oh, that was me and my dad.
As I kind of hit my teens, I think things changed quite a lot. I left the countryside and I was at boarding school. I was just overwhelmed and excited.
Back of a bus somewhere, just being a dickhead. Those are my pals.
I remember flying, I remember travelling, I remember feeling so excited. I mean, I look back on it and I think of it as just this like unbelievably privileged few years. And I'm so grateful I had them, because between the age of 14 and 18, I crammed a lot in. Thank God I did, because I had no idea it was all gonna change.
When she was in trouble when she was 13 or 14, and they said, Sophie is too spirited. And then I look now at her and what she's done with that spirit. She's channeled all that into something very, very positive and very, very good.
Just 1 month after the launch, my campaign takes me to Downing Street, lobbying for new laws.
Firstly, to fine the aviation industry for failing disabled passengers, and second, to ensure new larger planes have accessible toilets and allow wheelchair users to stay in their chairs on board.
This is just the beginning. There's much, much more to come.
I'm also fighting for better compensation when passengers' mobility devices are lost or damaged.
Guys, be careful with it, please. Yeah, can you be careful with it?
Because according to our survey, one in four who use a mobility aid have had it lost or damaged whilst flying, and one in five of those weren't properly compensated.
Washington, D.C.
My next stop, the White House.
Rights on Flights has been doing so much work at home, and now coming over here and seeing what's happening in the US, I feel like it's a moment.
The fight for the rights, the dignity, for equality, equity, for folks with disabilities, the issue of transportation is a very foundational and fundamental one.
I have heard so many stories from friends, including many wheelchair users in this room, about the multiple situations that you have faced dealing with airline travel as wheelchair users. And it's why we've begun laying the preliminary groundwork for a rule that will make it possible for passengers to stay in their own wheelchairs when they fly.
I've always thought of the UK as being a leader. I really hope that they think, right, we need to do better too. But who knows? I have no idea. But on a personal level, I can't believe that just happened. I can't believe we're just sitting in the room with these extraordinary people that change lives. It's just like, how the hell did this happen to me?
US Vice President Kamala Harris was addressing the meeting. Now Sophie is on a train, her wheelchair parked in a separate space.
Look, there are no forms of transport that provide completely reliable wheelchair access. But unlike planes, at least there are some trains that are designed with us in mind.
When you travel by train as a wheelchair user, the situation is so much easier. The way it's been designed, there's certain benefits to it. You can stay in your chair. You can transfer out if you want to, but you can always get your chair. And then if you want to go to the loo, you can get yourself there. There's just more room. They've factored in a space. This is, I think, why I'm always like, on an aeroplane, why can't we do that? I don't have anxiety about my chair getting broken when I travel by train. You get planes wider than this, and they haven't made space. So there is space. Make space.
A sign on a train reads, wheelchair space.
Improvements to trains and buses came after a campaign by the Disabled People's Direct Action Network in the 1990s.
A banner reads, to boldly go where all others have gone before.
All we want is to be able to get on the bus the same as every other member of the public.
If you want to get on the bus, get on the bus.
How?
This is just like one up front.
How? We want what they've got!
I feel like this is something that's lacking from our fight. You know, that kind of radical, more aggressive approach to getting change. You know, they fought for the right to access public transport, and maybe this is the next generation of campaigning, is we're now fighting for the rights on flights.
Gliding over the Thames.
So I've decided to take action to demonstrate the need for change. However, my public campaigning means that I can't fly under the radar. So I've asked some friends and fellow advocates to go undercover to capture the shocking reality of flying with a disability. They'll be flying into three different European cities, including Paris, which is hosting the Paralympics this year. And to showcase how widespread the problem is, they'll be traveling from three British airports with three different airlines that have all been previously criticized by disabled passengers. I'll be watching all three groups from behind the scenes. The first five to check in are traveling from Gatwick to Rome with Wizz Air, some with companions. Among them are my friends Dom and Isaac. When they rang the airline ahead of the flight to tell them the weights of their wheelchairs, they were told it was fine to travel with them. But at check-in, it's a very different story.
We can't take more than 150 kgs.
On the airplane, yeah.
So are you saying that we can't fly?
Just
you can fly, but probably your mother wheelchair.
Okay,
so how do you think we're going to be able to operate without taking the wheelchairs?
Technically, we've been denied access to flying because our chairs are too heavy. Even though on the phone, they said it's absolutely fine.
So I know.
Did you talk to them in there?
Yeah.
I called up 3 days ago. My manager will come down to talk to you.
She was telling us that he couldn't get on the plane, and she was quite blunt and quite sure about that. You have to ask to speak to someone else.
The staff member's manager.
I just spoke to the base, and they have received a phone call on the 31st of January. That you will need a special assistant. But the agent, they never written the amount of weight that your wheelchair is made.
I told them 3 times. Is this going to be okay? And they said it was going to be absolutely fine.
I definitely want you to go, but I don't know how to lift your wheelchair to the plane, sir.
This is something that happens all the time, that you are told that you have to call ahead and give all of your information, the weight, the dimensions, everything about your chair. You have to hand over all of this information in advance. You get there and someone turns around and says, sorry, no, we don't have that information. We can't help you.
It's been an hour and 20 minutes and the manager has been gone for now 40 minutes. So it's looking very unlikely we're going to get on this flight.
Hashtag fight to fly. Sophie Morgan's fight to fly. A busy airport check-in area.
So our survey has revealed that 1 in 10 disabled people who travelled in the last 5 years have been denied boarding. Which is what will happen to Dom and Isaac if Wizz Air can't get their wheelchairs on board.
What clearly had happened is Wizz Air had no provision for wheelchairs of our size going onto the aircraft. They hadn't planned for it. So this manager was essentially trying to beg, borrow and steal from around the airport to get us on the plane.
The manager.
We're going to try to get you on, but I asked the special assistant, so they're going to lift your wheelchair by ambulance.
Okay.
Because we don't have a equipment, but they're willing to help, so I was negotiating and it's all going to happen for you.
Now Dom is wheeled onto a plane.
So we're now on the plane. It's crazy that we have to kind of fight tooth and nail to actually get what should have already been in place. It's going to be delayed because they're still loading stuff on, like our chairs.
These two men are advocates. They know the system. They know how to fight for their rights. Other people who fly in the same situation might well give up at this point and say, okay, well, there's nothing I can do, and leave.
On the plane, we're just loading up some wheelchairs in the front cargo. Now it looks like they've figured it out, and due to that, we lost our spot in the sequence. We requested a new one, and we should be ready to move, worst-case scenario, 11:30 or so, in half an hour.
Worst-case scenario, 11:30, so in half an hour.
Oh, my God. That is so unbelievable. The captain has just said that the wheelchairs are delaying the flight. Can you imagine how that feels if you're a wheelchair user? That's so cruel.
So, sorry again for any inconvenience this may ever cause.
For disabled people who are flying, they're already feeling that this system is not built for them. They've had their wheelchairs removed from them, and now they're sitting there, anxious, uncomfortable, sitting on seats that they can't move from. And they have just been called out by the captain for disrupting the flight. I mean, it's like adding insult to injury. It's just layers and layers and layers of ableism.
It really kind of felt like it was placing a bit of blame on the wheelchair users. I could tell people around me were anxious and frustrated because they had been delayed.
This is ableism. And this is why the campaign is calling for compulsory training of airline and airport staff by disabled people. Another member of the group is Spencer Watts. Now, like me, he has a spinal cord injury, and that means he's paralyzed and can't walk. So he needs an aisle chair on board, which is a type of wheelchair used on planes by disabled people if we want to access the toilet. Due to the delay, the plane takes off over an hour after passengers boarded.
A little bit into the journey, I needed a wee,
and ask the question as to whether they can accommodate an aisle chair on board.
They have an aisle chair.
Spencer asks a flight attendant, "Do you have an aisle chair on board?" She goes to check, then says, "No, we don't."
It was a pretty straight no, if I'm honest.
You have no aisle chair on board. So there's no physical way that I can get to the toilet?
No, unfortunately, the wheelchair has not been fitted yet on this kind of aircraft.
Yet.
Right, OK, so then realistically, you should be allowing people that can't walk on the aeroplane without an aisle chair.
What I can do is report this situation because, of course, it's not nice for anybody.
It's not good. They've just confirmed that, unfortunately, this is a new aircraft and it hasn't come equipped with an aisle chair. There's nothing that they can do and they sincerely apologise. You're in no other option but to either, you know, be in a lot of pain because you can't go for a wee or shuffle on the floor, so...
I had no option but to basically ask my fellow passengers on the side to move out of the way and drag myself along the floor and into the toilet.
Spencer sits down in the aisle and propels himself backwards using his hands.
I actually just, like, I can't barely watch. I can barely look at it. Dragging himself on the floor.
Sophie's watching on a monitor.
This is embarrassing. You feel very small and, you know, there's a lot of people on this aeroplane that are looking at you like, as in, what the hell is going on? So that whole experience is very, very horrible.
Not only is he dragging himself along the floor, which is undignified, unfair, unjust, what you don't know is that he has got spinal injury. He's putting his body at risk. He's dragging himself along the floor. The consequences of that could be further injury, which could lead to bed rest, which could lead to pressure sores. It's not just inhumane, it's dangerous. How is this happening?
What happened to Spencer is exactly why we're campaigning for aisle chairs to be mandatory on all planes, regardless of size. And our survey supports this, with nearly 2 in 5 disabled passengers having difficulty accessing toilets on aeroplanes.
It's upsetting, really. It's embarrassing on my behalf and every other wheelchair user or any disabled person out there that technology's not moving on.
The Eiffel Tower in Paris.
Next, my campaign leads me to Paris for a conference with managers responsible for special assistance services for disabled passengers when we fly.
I was looking around the room this morning thinking this is a conference for PRM, but how many people in this room actually identify as people with reduced mobility? One person in the room. I find it really frustrating when I constantly see people trying to create solutions and they don't understand the problems. Only yesterday, I was travelling here with an airline from the UK and I was referred to as a special, and specials like you aren't allowed on the plane at this point. And that language, do you get that? That what that feels like? The day before that, my mobility device that attaches to my chair was broken for the third time this year. I do feel like this sense of frustration because I want change and I want it now. And I posted about my experiences yesterday. I had over 200 comments. They had the same problems as me. I'm not alone. This is a crisis.
Now Sophie is seated with other delegates.
It's so weird that I am the only physically disabled person in the room, and this isn't my job. These things have been going on for years without disabled people at them. It just feels a bit icky to me.
Everyone's sort of congratulating each other on the solutions that they have created for us.
It's insanely patronising.
When I'm made to feel very disabled by other people, it really upsets me because I'm like, I've done all the work to make myself okay and now you're disrupting me? It's really hard work, this.
Hashtag fight to fly. Sophie Morgan's fight to fly. Sophie is on a boat on the Seine.
At the Special Assistance Conference in Paris, I'm meeting Stansted's accessibility manager, Stephanie Putt, to share with her the experience of one disabled passenger who travelled from her airport.
So, this was shared the other day on social media, and I just wanted to ask you your thoughts about it, because it was
It went pretty viral, and a lot of people in the disabled community were talking about it.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen this, yeah.
It's for 7 years I've been doing this.
Well, you,
you
should know about basic respect, that you ask a wheelchair user before you push them.
Please, don't speak to my staff.
I'm speaking in a nice, I'm speaking in a nice tone.
I know, but you're raising your voice. I need to take facts to go, because I can.
You're not threatening me because I'm asking for basic human rights of being respected.
You're going on and on and on.
Because you're not accepting it. I'm a wheelchair user. People want to be asked before they get pushed. It's scary, someone just comes and pushes
you. I am moving you now.
How can it happen that staff who are meant to be looking after disabled passengers can treat them this badly? And it's like, how did this happen? I want to understand where there's a breakdown. Where does it go so wrong?
No. I honestly, it's really hard to answer that on behalf of the service provider because I haven't been privy to all of the detail around that, and they do operate that service on our behalf, but at the same time, I think...
So it's not your responsibility?
I think it's my responsibility, but I don't have the answer like right now for what happened.
That's the problem, is if you don't know, you don't know how you're going
to
stop it from happening again.
How to stop it again. Certainly that is something that we should be addressing, that we don't want anybody to feel that, like, ever.
The Palace of Westminster in London.
After 6 months of hard work, I'm heading to Parliament to present groundbreaking new laws written by a group of lawyers, designers and aviation experts, all of whom have lived experience of disability. The Assisted Air Travel Act introduces several key changes we're campaigning for, such as accessible toilets, mandatory aisle chairs on aircraft and better compensation for equipment damage. This is a huge moment. I've gathered a room full of UK and US politicians who could amplify our mission. Unfortunately, though, I've been up all night feeling unwell.
So, just got to the House of Commons, Parliament, going in for this event. I'm not really feeling very well, to be honest with you. Basically, I have to go to hospital, but I can't because this event is just too important.
It's momentous what this girl happens to do from week to week, but slightly worried about Sophie's illness, I would have said, no, forget it, give your speech to someone else to address. But she got where she is by being the sort of person that nothing very rarely stops her, of which I'm very grateful, I'm very proud, but nevertheless, nervous for today.
We've written legislation that could potentially protect disabled people. I feel quite proud of myself just in this moment.
Inside the ornate building.
Right on flight.
I get really anxious. I'm just a bit worried. I'm not very coherent today.
Sophie addresses the meeting.
Today we launched the Assisted Air Travel Act, legislation that could put an end to the need to fight for our rights on flights. This act could usher in a paradigm shift in how disabled people travel, and I'm so grateful and excited to share it with you all today. Thank you so much. And now I hand over to Lord David Blunkett.
I'm very pleased indeed that some of the airlines and airports are here, because this has to be a joint venture. This isn't about us and them. It's got to be about what we can do to put things right.
Later, Sophie leaves the building.
Easy, to be honest. I think I was riding on adrenaline for most of it, because I've been feeling so rotten, but honestly, the turnout was just enough to make me feel like, you got this, you got this, you got this. And it reminds, you know, that I'm here for a reason. I drag myself out of bed for a reason. I really, really believe in what I'm doing.
There's been times where my body's gone, yeah, fuck you, you have to stop now. And then I do have to listen and I have to stop. But then there's other times where I'm like, your body can do it, you're well enough, go, do stuff. In Manchester, my second group of activists are about to fly to Madrid with Ryanair. Among them is Jonathan, who had a spinal cord injury as a teenager. After checking in, he and his fellow passengers are helped onto the plane by the airport's special assistant staff.
I left him, it's captured.
Yeah.
On the armrests.
The wheelchair getting caught on the right hand side of my car over.
Okay, so stop. We need to go to the right. We're not straight. We need to go to the right more.
Yeah. I wasn't sitting quite straight on the aisle chair, so as we went down, my hip was banging against the armrests of the aisle seats.
Right, try again.
No.
Could it have been done better? Undoubtedly.
No more room on this side, mate.
Could it have been done more safely? Definitely.
The reason we're not going through is my hip. It's not my arm, it's my hip.
All of this is taking place in front of 12 or so other passengers who are sitting in the seats around you.
Go gently, please, gently. That's it.
Jonathan is lifted out of the aisle chair and into a seat.
I can only describe it as a kind of dehumanizing experience, really.
Another one of the passengers is Emma.
It's just my legs.
Yeah, yeah.
I just kind of watch my legs don't get caught. Once we got on the plane, the two special assistants got ready to lift me onto the plane seat, but it took them like 3 attempts.
In the aisle, do you mind shifting your leg? Because I can see there it's going to roll back down.
I kept catching on like the armrest to begin with. Then my knees kept getting in the way. Sometimes I feel like it's the first time they've ever came across somebody like myself who's a wheelchair user that needs a full lift across.
You are really frightened in that moment of the impact that you know that this could have on your body. Yeah. You just feel must have felt so vulnerable. Assistant staff don't always know how to help, and you're putting so much trust in them. And then in the meantime, it's your body at risk and your equipment at risk and all of that. I'm sorry.
Washington, D.C.
Rights on Flights has now caught the attention of President Biden. He's invited me to the White House to celebrate the 33rd anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And it's a chance for me to hear about the latest accessibility changes in the US.
We're here to celebrate laws that protect people like me, laws that took so long to come around.
On a lawn, President Biden speaks to guests from a podium.
The Rehabilitation Act is one of the most consequential civil rights laws in our nation's history, banning discrimination on the basis of disability. History shows it's often not the people in power, but the power of the people that moves the nation forward. Modernizing airports by adding wheelchair ramps, accessible restrooms, and so much more. And the Department of Transportation issued a rule that now requires all new single-aisle aircraft over a certain size to have wheelchair-accessible restrooms. I think this is just the beginning. We can never stop. Thank you.
A standing ovation. Now Sophie meets the president.
Thank you so much. I'm Sophie. Can we get a selfie? Sorry. Oh, it's okay. Thank you for today. It was amazing to be part of this historic moment. We just met the president. It feels so good to be here around all these amazing advocates. It lights a fire under me, for sure.
We need the same laws over here. So I'm firing up another activist group to highlight the need for change. The final six are traveling from Heathrow with BA to Paris, the host city for this year's Paralympics. LMA is a paraplegic and uses a bespoke manual wheelchair, which is specially designed to support her as she has no balance. So she needs to use her own chair to and from the aircraft door. Once LMA arrives in Paris, she's taken off the plane in an aisle chair by the airport's special assistant staff.
So when they were dragging me back out the plane, as they dropped me back off the drop, my foot came off the plane, hit the plane door right on the side, so it was on that part of my bone. So I can see there's bruising around the ankle. There was no straps on this aisle chair compared to what I'm used to. When they were sort of dropped me down and I immediately fell forwards, they just kept saying, "We're going slowly." And I was like, "I'm still falling."
Ella May says, "I don't have any core balance."
Are you okay?
Can you bend my knees?
And it's really scary because, like, as I came off, I went forwards, I started coming out this chair. And it's really scary because if they dropped me at that point, there's so many things I could fall on. And I don't feel like they were kind of taking that seriously at all. It was scary and frightening. It just made me feel like a piece of, like, cargo rather than a person.
Hashtag fight to fly. A man in his 30s is wheeled along the aisle of a plane.
It's in a bit Suleiman.
Back in Paris, last to leave the flight is my friend Suleiman, who has congenital muscular dystrophy.
It feels very scary because I have to lay down and because if anything will hit my head or if I'm going to fall. And so this is not the safest and most dignified way as a wheelchair user to travel, basically.
In London, Suleiman was helped onto the plane by Heathrow special assistance staff using an Eagle hoist. He's requested the same equipment in Paris. His sister, who's travelling with him, has asked the BA crew if the French special assistance team will be providing one, as previously requested.
Is there any sort of hoist?
I don't believe there's a hoist available.
The problem is because...
I'm extremely sorry about how this is going.
Sir, I'm
the captain, and I extend my most sincere apologies. It's completely unacceptable. I'm so sorry. Suleiman says it is exhausting.
I have to say, though, the staff on board, including you, were amazing, really, really kind and helpful. So that made a big difference. Yeah.
Well, shockingly, in August, we had the Paralympics. There is no hoist at the airport, and there is no support for special assistance. Which is scary.
I just need someone to hold my head. Basically, I have a sling, and then I just need to support.
Suleiman is eventually lifted off using a sling.
This is why we need four people, yeah?
And finally returns to his wheelchair.
It takes all your dignity, all your love, all your humanity out of your soul. It's making me hugely anxious. Flying in the future, I don't even know if I want to fly.
Ella May inspects her wheelchair.
Ella May is reunited with her wheelchair, but quickly spots something is wrong.
It's broken. It's broken. That's not supposed to move. It's broken. It's like all twisted, the whole backrest and the frame.
And I got across. And the minute I got across, you could see that I went forward straight away because when I pushed back in the chair to lean against my backrest, it pushed me straight forward again.
I can't sit back.
You can't sit back?
No.
I couldn't sit up straight, and if I try to sit back, the backrest is so screwed up, I can't sit straight.
Aside from injury to your actual body, the damage to the chair is the thing you fear the most. It's abuse. It's abuse. It's so hard. It's so horrible. And watching her going through this right now, I just feel frustrated and angry and sad for her.
Yeah, they broke
my
chair.
They broke my chair. Now I'm trying to, like, keep it together. Because this is my chair, this is everything.
Thankfully, we knew that this could happen and we have a technician on hand. But what happens to the flyers who are out there without a technician and are facing getting stranded? What happens to them, you know? This is just, enough is enough. This can't go on.
Our groups all flew on the same day and each faced significant problems. One partial solution would be for wheelchair users to fly sitting in our chairs. And that may soon be possible thanks to a prototype being tested by a subsidiary of Delta Airlines.
How are you doing?
I'm really good. Great now. Oh, my gosh.
I'm really excited as I'm going to meet designer Daniel, who's part of the Air for All consortium that's developing the product alongside Delta.
This is what it could be like, rolling onto an aeroplane.
Yeah. From the crew's point of view, it's really easy to convert to a space for a wheelchair to be included.
Dream come true.
You take off the dress covers, the two cushions, which is really, really simple. And then we have this release button on the side, and this part.
Oh, for God's sake!
It's So that moves away. This moves up to a position where you can use it in a wheelchair. There's a hook system in here. These will be locked onto your wheelchair and it stops the wheelchair from moving. So it's locked into place.
Am I in?
Perfect.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It's so simple in principle, but it's so monumental for so many people. Join me in this row.
So this would always be at the front?
At the moment, yeah. It's the perfect place to do it. Because yeah. It allows anybody in the wheelchair not to have the struggles of trying to get down the cabin.
Yes. I'm sitting here now, I'm like, this is the future, this is what will happen. What are the barriers that we're facing with getting this actually implemented on planes?
It's really getting it certified from an authority's point of view. It's taken 4 years and we're ready to go into getting this onto an aircraft.
This will literally change people's lives in an unrecognisable way.
Driving past an airfield.
I've been fixated on this space for a wheelchair user on board an airplane. And then there it is. It's real and it's happening. And that feels profound. The next generation of disabled people will not have to deal with the trauma and the abuse that disabled people have been dealing with for decades because of this one space on board an aircraft. And that is amazing.
This pioneering solution proves that the sky shouldn't be the limit for disabled passengers. All I need to do now is convince the airlines to take action and to treat us as equals worthy of the space. I want to demonstrate that there should be no barriers for how far people like me can go. And I'm going to boldly go where no other paraplegic British woman has ever gone before, to defy gravity and expectations, and in the process, remember what it feels like to move freely after 20 years of being paralysed.
I don't know the last time I actually looked forward to getting on an aeroplane. They normally, I look at them and they fill me with dread. The plane goes up at speed and then it kind of ascends and ascends and then it descends. And in that, at that point of that apex, you go into weightlessness. So basically all gravity is gone.
On board the zero gravity plane.
It's funny, isn't it? Because this is what we hate, wheelchair users, these seats. These are the things that ruin our lives. And that up there is like the other world, the could be world, the potential world. And this is like the old world. Just to be able to stand up. I've completely forgotten what that's like. Literally, I haven't been able to do that for 20 years. It's going to be so weird.
The plane takes off into the sky. Sophie is lying on the cabin floor with her wheelchair parked next to her. She hauls herself up, pushes herself off the floor, and starts to float around. Sophie is wearing a huge smile as she moves through the air as if flying through space.
I used to float, now I just fall down.
Looking down. Looking at my legs. I'm floating around and there's the chair. I don't need you here. You're no good to me in this space. I mean, I felt like I wasn't paralyzed anymore.
The chair is floating too.
It's an experience where I feel the shackles, the kind of confines that exist around my life, removed. It makes me feel like I'm capable of anything, and that feeling when you're disabled is such a motivator. I was really struggling with these memories of me before my injury. Like, I was very haunted by them. And I would dream about jumping, dream about running, dream about getting out of my wheelchair. That dream has become reality. Maybe I healed a bit of me just doing that. In zero gravity, I can move around. You put me in a different environment and I'm deeply disabled. And that's one of the problems with an aeroplane. It's an attitudinal barrier I'm fighting. It is not a physical barrier. That comes second. First comes attitude. And the attitudinal stuff, it gets broken down, I think, when people see people like me doing stuff like that.
Back on the ground, Sophie wheels herself away, beaming.
We put our findings to the relevant organisations. Wizz Air told us, "We were extremely sorry to hear about the experiences of these customers. We understand the importance of wheelchairs for users. Unfortunately, on this particular flight, there was no aisle wheelchair available. We are in the process of having aisle chairs on all of our aircraft, with 85% of our fleet already having them available. We apologise for the way the pilot communicated the delay with passengers and recognise that there would have been a more appropriate way for customers to have been notified." British Airways said, "We are sorry to our customers for the unacceptable experience. It's extremely disheartening when things go wrong, but we're committed to learning from these incidents and have been in touch with our customers directly to apologise and arrange service recovery. We successfully carry hundreds of thousands of customers who require additional assistance each year." Manchester Airport said, "Inclusivity is a top priority for Manchester Airport. We continue to introduce measures to make the experience better for all people requiring support, including recruiting more staff and investing in new equipment and innovative solutions to improve passenger independence." Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport said, "We are deeply sorry for the experiences of Ms. Warren and Mr. Khan. When helping Ms. Warren, our mobility assistance staff didn't properly strap her once on the transfer chair, which is against our safety measures. We deeply regret this oversight. Our mobility assistants found the chair damaged. Loading and unloading personal wheelchairs off the aircraft are the airline's responsibilities." Mr. Khan was signalled by the airline as a wheelchair passenger when his condition required a stretcher. "We were unable to anticipate his arrival with all the resources required for his care. We are committed to accelerating the improvement of accessibility in the run-up to the Olympic and Paralympic Games and beyond." PRM conference told us, "We were delighted to have Sophie speak at our event. We always make a point to invite people with lived experience at our events. Like her, we would love to see more people with lived experience advocating and working in the industry." Transport Secretary Louise Haig said, "Everyone has the right to travel with dignity, and it is vital that flying is an accessible, safe and enjoyable experience for all. We are committed to working closely with industry and stakeholders to make progress in enhancing the accessibility of aviation."